It's time for light that darkness can't defeat. It's time to escape from the shadow of death and into abundant life. For the people living in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Welcome to the Great Light Program with David Oyedepo Jr. Get set to arise and shine, because your light has come.
Understanding the blessedness of prayer and fasting. First of all, it is important for us to remember that every spiritual exercise is ordained for our profiting. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and verse 8, the Bible tells us, in verse 8 in particular, it says, bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. So not only are spiritual exercises profitable, but according to scripture, they are profitable unto all things. Whether it is career things, it is business things, it is family things, it is financial things. He said godliness is profitable unto all things. Having the profit of the life that now is and that which is to come. Whether it is temporary things or eternal things, godliness is profitable unto all things. If we understand that, say aloud, amen. Now, this is so important. So, spiritual exercise is ordained for our profiting. That is why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, it says that our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. What that scripture tells us is that glory may be costly, but the cost is not equal to the profit. We are investing ourselves in this season of prayer and fasting, and it is a cost to the body, but it pays more than it costs. In other words, the weight of glory far exceeds the cost of affliction that it may have brought upon anyone. That is why I know concerning you and concerning me, that each one of us shall be walking in greater weights of glory than we have ever seen before. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9, he said, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, it has not entered into the heart of man, the things that God has ordained or prepared for those that love him. And it's because we love him that we are seeking him like this in this season. Therefore, for every one of us, the things eyes have not seen, the things ears have not heard, they shall be delivered to us in this season. Somebody believe it, say louder, amen. But the question is, what is the profitable approach to fasting? If it is ordained for our profiting, and if its profit is ordained to impact on every area of our lives, then what is the right approach to take? What is the approach to attain this profiting? Number one, we must build our faith in the name of Jesus for guaranteed answers to prayers. We must build our faith in the name of Jesus for guaranteed answers to prayers. In John chapter 16, Jesus speaking there in verse 23, the Bible tells us, it says that, and in that day ye shall ask nothing. Verily I say unto you, ye shall ask the Father in my name, and I will give it unto you. And in verse 24, he said, hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Now I'm telling you, ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. So according to scriptures, the name of Jesus is the master key to the throne of grace. The Bible said we should come boldly to the throne of grace. But as we access the throne of grace, we have a master key. And that key is the name of Jesus. The Bible says in John chapter 14, verse 12 down to verse 14. It says there, He said, the works that I do, shall ye do also. And greater works than this shall ye do. He said, because I go to my Father. And in verse 13, and whatsoever you will ask in my name, he said, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. He said, if you ask anything, I'm repeating it, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And you know, Jesus was the one who said concerning himself as he prayed to the Lord, that Lord, I know that you hear me always. So when we engage his name, God hears us always. I see God hearing you and me always. And what occurs with the name? Number one, we discover that oppositions are cleared at the name of Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 down to verse 11. He said, and wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and everything that is in heaven, and things on the earth, and things under the earth. He said, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord. In other words, when you are praying, and you say, now in the name of Jesus, whatever installations the enemy may have been putting as a resistance to the prayer is forced to bow on your behalf. That is why I know that there is nothing that is resisting your glory in this season that will succeed. Amen. The Bible said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, he said, you shall condemn them. Therefore, as we engage the name of Jesus, every opposition to our glory shall be brought down supernaturally. Amen. Somebody believe it, say louder, amen. We also discover that according to scriptures, the altar of prayer is the throne of the judge of the whole earth. In Genesis chapter 18 and verse 25, Abraham speaking said there, he says, shall the judge of all the earth, speaking of God, not do right? So when we are praying, we are entering heaven's courtroom. And the good news is this, we are not entering alone when we use his name. When we engage the name of Jesus, we are engaging the advocate that never fails. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. 1 John chapter 2, it says, my little children, these things I say unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. We have a lawyer in heaven. You know, natural men many times boast in their lawyers. I remember that there was a case many years ago, very complicated case in America, and they employed a dangerous lawyer. The man had a reputation for winning every case, and you could see this man, everybody knew that he's guilty, but he sat there smiling in the court, knowing that because of the lawyer he had, his chances for failure are slim. When you use the name of Jesus, you are using a lawyer that has never failed before. A lawyer with a 100% record. It means that as you present your case before the Lord in that name, a speedy answer is coming on your behalf. Somebody believe it, say louder, amen. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 34, the Bible makes us to understand. He said there, he said, and who is he that condemneth? He said, it is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, also making intercession, standing on our behalf for those who hand over their case to him, making intercession for us. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, he said, for he ever liveth to make intercession. He's a lawyer that never sleeps. He's a lawyer that never slumbers. That is why somebody in Jamaica can be calling his name. At the same time, somebody in Barcelona can be calling his name. At the same time, somebody in Congo can be calling his name. At the same time, somebody in Ottawa can be calling his name. And he's answering at the same time because he ever liveth. Somebody lift your right hand and say, thank you, Jesus. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He ever liveth to make proceedings for us. He ever liveth to make presentations for us. That is why it is the wisest thing for anyone to do, that every time you come to the courtroom of heaven in prayer, you don't come alone. You finish saying what you have to say, and you say, now in the name of Jesus. And when you say in the name of Jesus, Jesus takes over the prayer point and begins to present it before the Father. And as he's presenting it, God begins to nod. God begins to nod, and he begins to distribute answers. I see that becoming your experience. In the name of Jesus Christ. So we see that because he makes intercession for us, God is committed to answer us when we pray in his name. God is committed to answer us when we pray in his name. I want you to take note at John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14 in particular, and see what the Bible says. Jesus was speaking here. He said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, I, Jesus, will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And in verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, I, Jesus, will do it. If you look at that scripture, Jesus separated or distinguished between himself and the Father. If you ask in my name, I, Jesus, take over the case. I present it to the Father, and the Father glorifies himself in the Son. So whenever we are engaging the name of Jesus, what we are doing is simple. If you know any one public setting, you know that many letters are written by people's secretaries. Two of us, the secretary types the letter, and then the CEO signs the letter. The typing is the secretary's, but when the signature comes, the letter belongs to the owner. In the same way, when you are praying, you are typing your petition. When you are using the name of Jesus, Jesus is signing the letter. And God is responding to the letter. I see God responding to your own letter. Somebody believe it, say a louder amen. So, we don't just engage the name. Why are we teaching concerning this today? We must engage the name in faith. That's why we said we build our faith in the name of Jesus for guaranteed answers to prayers. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 22. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 22. He said, and all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer. How many things? Believing. He said, you shall receive them. As long as you believe, engage in his name, you enjoy the result of your prayer in answers. I see that becoming our experience in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Number two, profitable approach to prayer and fasting is we must come with the full assurance of faith. We must come what? With the full assurance of faith. In the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 and verse 23, the Bible says, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. And it says, let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that has promised. So we draw near to God with full assurance. What does it mean? It means you are not coming guessing. You are coming sure of an answer. You are coming sure of an answer. I remember some years ago, I think it was December in 2008, God's servant, our Father, was having a casual conversation with me. And he just made one statement, and the statement stuck with me. He said, David, I know God hears me when I pray. He was talking about a specific incident. I know God hears me when I pray. When I heard that statement, I nodded as if I knew. And I went back into my room and I said, Lord, the truth is I don't know like him that God hears me that way. So I need deeper light to be able to walk at that realm. You see, there are many people who are throwing prayers like lottery. They are trying and just guessing. Maybe God will hear me today. Maybe he will hear me tomorrow. But anytime you want a guaranteed answer, you must approach God with the full assurance. This is why the Bible said, let us come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help. That is, we are not coming timidly. We are not coming guessing. We are coming with a full assurance of faith. Remember, without faith, no man can please God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. It said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Look at what it says next. For he that cometh, so you have not yet started coming to him. He that cometh to him must believe. So it is faith that makes you come to him. Please hear this. Not everybody who comes to a prayer meeting comes to the meter of the prayer. It is those who come with faith. Faith makes you come to him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we come with a full assurance. That's why the Bible says, let us draw near. When your faith is thick, your access is near. It's near. And when you are near, your answer is near. I see each one of us getting our answers in this season. That is why the Bible says in James chapter 1 verse 6 to 8, it says there, it said, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like the wave of the sea. Let not that man think that he can receive anything from the Lord. But for each one of us, we shall receive something from the Lord. And what we receive from the Lord in this season will decorate us gloriously. Somebody believe it, say louder, amen. Now, let us quickly examine the blessedness of fasting. The blessedness of fasting. Number one, it provides access to continuous guidance. Continuous guidance. Fasting provides access to continuous guidance. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 6, it said, is this not the fast that I've chosen? And in verse 11, it tells us, the Lord shall guide thee continually. So fasting gives us access to divine guidance. And the beauty of divine guidance, the Bible shows us in Psalm chapter 23, beginning from verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He said that he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. He said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He said, thou preparest a table before me in the midst or in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. And because you are leading me, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And what is glory? Glory is all of God's goodness, all of God's mercy. So every time we are subjected to the leading of God, we are under the weight of his glory. For each one of us in this season, as God begins to guide us, I see each one of us entering into greater realms of glory. Now we begin to see several specific blessings of guidance. Number one, guidance is the gateway to a world of exploits. It's the gateway. That's why Daniel 11:32 says, those that know their God, they know him, and they know his thoughts, they know his plan, they are following his leading, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. In Isaiah chapter 48 and in verse 21 specifically, the Bible said, they thirsted not when he led them. He said, through the deserts, he caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He cleaved the rock together and the waters gushed out. He was leading them, and breakthrough and exploits became their testimony. As God begins to lead you and me in this season, breakthrough and exploits shall become our testimony. Amen. Somebody believe it, say louder, amen. Amen. I said, somebody believe it, say louder, amen. Amen. So, It is the gateway to a world of exploits. It's also the gateway to a world of supernatural breakthroughs. A world of supernatural breakthroughs. That is, everything on every side enjoying continuous enlargement and breakthroughs. If you look at Isaiah chapter 54 very closely, beginning from verse 1, it says, single barren, and thou that did not bear, bring forth, break forth into singing. And it says, thou that did not travel with child. He said, for more are the children of the married, of the desolate, than the married wife. Enlarge the place of thy tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, strengthen thy stakes. Why? For thou shalt break forth on the right and on the left. And how is this going to happen? Among other things, he said, your children shall be taught of the Lord. So divine guidance is the pathway to breakthrough. Isaiah chapter 45, beginning from verse 1 to 3. He said, thus said the Lord unto Cyrus, unto his anointed. He said, whose right hand I've holden. And because I'm holding him and leading him, he said, I will subdue nations before him. I will loose the loins of kings. I will open before him the two-leaf gates. The gates shall not be shut. He said, I will go before thee. I will make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass. I will cut in sunder the bars of iron. And why am I doing all of this? So that I can give you the treasures of darkness. The things that the enemy went to hide in darkness. He said, and I will give you the hidden riches of secret places that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by name, I am the God of Jacob. Say with me, breakthrough. So when God is leading and guiding, breakthrough becomes our identity. I see that becoming our testimony. Somebody believe it, say loud, amen. Amen. We have scriptural examples of individuals who operated in unquestionable dominion and breakthrough. One of them being Moses. The Bible said concerning Moses in the book of Numbers chapter 12, verse 6 down to verse 8. He said there, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak unto him in a dream. But look at verse 7. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. Look at verse 8. And with him I will speak mouth to mouth. What distinguished Moses was the depth of his guidance. I will speak mouth to mouth, not apparently, but I will make myself plain and not in similitude. Wherefore, why were you not afraid to speak against him? Moses was a man that was made by guidance. If you read the book of Exodus, you read the book of Leviticus, you read the book of Numbers, you read the book of Deuteronomy, you keep hearing, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. Everything that Moses was doing was as God was commanding. And that was what gave birth to the breakthrough. Have you not heard our father say so many times here, our father, our presiding bishop say, that we do nothing except is commanded. That's why you see breakthrough on every side. That's why you see exploits on every side. Because divine guidance gives birth to exploits. Each one of us, as we begin to access the voice of heaven, I see us walking into realms of undeniable exploits. Somebody believe it, say loud, amen. Amen. You know, the Bible makes it clear. It said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard. Where you are in the spirit, you will definitely hear what the voice of the Spirit is saying. For each one of us in this season, I see us hearing that with the voice of the Spirit is speaking in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How about Paul the Apostle? A man of unquestionable exploits. I love the story of Paul because Paul was a man who was most unlikely to make anything out of destiny. The Bible makes us understand, even when he was sharing his testimony in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning from verse 6 all the way down to verse 10. He said, I was like one that was born in out of due season. In other words, I was like a premature child. An individual that was not to survive, not to make anything out of life and destiny. He said, but I am what I am now by the grace of God. What did that grace assist him to do? Among other things, to pick the voice of the Spirit. Paul's first encounter with Christ was an encounter with his voice. He said, Saul, Saul,
of Tarsus, why persecuted thou me? And from that time to the end of his ministry, he kept hearing clearly the voice of God. In Acts chapter 16, verse 8 down to verse 9, the Bible shows us there concerning Paul. He said, and they passing by Mysia came down to Troas. He said, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Say with me, divine guidance. So he wasn't going everywhere. He was going where God was leading. There are so many people who have destroyed themselves because they have gone everywhere. They have gone everywhere. They change career according to popularity. Nursing is good now. Let's go. IT is the best now. Let's go. They are making decisions according to popular opinion. But let's understand this. With God, it is not popular opinion that equals right destination. It is right direction that produces right destination. And right direction can only come from him. He said, it is not in a man that walketh to direct his steps. So every one of us must, at every point in time, seek God's clearance on every step to take. But for us to receive direction, one of the mysteries and secrets is the mystery of prayer and fasting. For each one of us, I see us walking in the fullness of heaven's direction. And as we do so, we shall be manifesting the glory of God. Yeah. Number two, blessedness of fasting is that it engenders divine health. It engenders divine health. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 8. He said, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. And every time life breaks forth, health springs forth. In Job chapter 33, verse 21 to 25, the Bible tells us, his flesh is consumed away that it cannot be seen. His bones that were not seen stick out. He said, yea, his soul draws near unto the grave, and his life to the destroyers. If there be an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness, he said, then God is gracious unto him and says, deliver him from going down to the pit, for I have found a ransom. And by that revelation, that illumination, he said, his flesh shall become fresher than a child's. He shall return unto the days of his youth. In this season of waiting upon the Lord, I see every affliction being destroyed in the name of Jesus.
Someone's knocking at the door. Someone's knocking at the door. Can you hear him knocking? Can you hear him knocking? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He's at the door.
Say after me, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I know that I'm a sinner. But I know you died for me. And on the third day you rose again. Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Take control of me from this day forward. Now I know that I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I pray for you, Father. I thank you today for these precious ones you have drawn into your kingdom. Let the grace that has brought them keep them in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, for each one of them, we decree today that the barriers against their life and destiny be broken in the name of Jesus. Grace to walk with you all the days of their lives. Release it upon them. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Somebody believe, say a loud amen.
If you have just received Christ as your Lord and Savior, or were blessed through this broadcast, we would love to hear from you. For inquiries and testimonies, send an email to info@tglmedia.org. We also invite you to visit one of our Winners Chapel churches near you anywhere around the world. Until next time, keep walking in the great light.